Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
And by the way, let me give you another weird one. And we've covered this before, but let me just throw this out again. Because first off, it's timely to tell you about something tomorrow, but then it ties into the weird stuff. So here's the good stuff. Tomorrow on the program, obviously, Baxter Barkley has been a big initiative around here. We're all trying to do what we can to help Saquon win MVP. Now, last week didn't go as well. He didn't get as many yards. Josh Allen again went bananas with all his touchdowns and blah, blah, blah. So probably an uphill battle now, but not over. Saquon still got a shot for the MVP. He's still got a shot for 2,000 yards. He's still got a shot for Dickerson. Matter of fact, he's likely to get 2,000 yards, which, you know, the last time it happened with Adrian Peterson,
eight times.
He won the MVP.
Yeah.
Anyway, tomorrow, another back. We'll see where he comes down. I'm sure he's going to be pro Saquon. The great Wilbert Montgomery on our program. Wilbert tomorrow. And John, you and I have never had Wilbert on the show.
No.
So this is amazing.
8:40 tomorrow, Wilbert, which will be awesome.
Also has been around the league as coach.
Coached Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I had a Wilbert Montgomery jersey in 1980.
Yep. Well, that was the year.
Yeah.
Sure.
Man.
So Wilbert, if you don't know, was the Eagles' all-time single-season rushing record holder until McCoy. So it went from Van Buren in 49. I'm just talking individual Eagles season. Van Buren in 49 to Wilbert in 78. Then Wilbert passed it again in 79. He held that record for about three decades. Then LeSean got it in 2013. And obviously, most recently, Saquon's got it. So we look forward to talking to the great Wilbert Montgomery tomorrow at 8:40. But here's also what I'm getting at. So I talked to Wilbert 2 days ago. He's coming on the show. It'll be great. After I talked to him, like 3 hours later, I'm scrolling through Facebook. What pops up on my Facebook feed? A picture of Wilbert Montgomery.
I don't think that's a mystery.
James, like, what the hell, man?
I think it's listening. I agree.
It shouldn't be legal.
I totally agree, but it has happened to all of us too many times for it to be anything other than, it's not a coincidence. Like,
John,
that
shouldn't be legal, man.
I agree.
You know what's I haven't noticed it, go ahead, Ross.
Oh,
I do.
I have.
Dude, Emily and I will be like talking about a song and then like, bang, like it plays. Like,
you buy a product and then you see an advertisement pop in your phone. Go ahead, Ross.
Well, first of all, I've noticed that a couple times. The first couple times people said that, like, I said, no way. But then it happened to me a couple times, so I believe it. But just as you were going through it, what are the odds that the two Eagles, single-season rushing record holders, are from Allentown and Harrisburg? I mean, think about that for a second, right? Like, there's the whole country. There's a lot of running backs in Texas and Florida and all over. Like, the fact that both of them grew up in Eagles country, like mid-major cities, not that far from Philly. The odds of that are very, very small.
Well, that's very cool.
We need to draft more Eastern PA guys.
Well, and Nick Singleton, Penn State's running back.
Yes, take him.
Similar area. Yeah.
He's from Reading, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. So if anyone has an answer on the drones, we're all ears, because it's a huge topic in America. And just curious, you know, what the hell is going on. Also, the Phils and the Eagles, as we've been discussing a lot. Let's get to JP right now in Plymouth Meeting. JP, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Always a pleasure, as always. Hope everybody's having a wonderful week, getting ready for Christmas. So, Sunday, I'm watching the game with my dad. He's in an assisted living place, and I watched the first half with my dad. Then I left, and he said, call me when the game's over. So I call him when the game's over. And my dad made me have an epiphany. He said, who else do we have to beat? Who else do we have to beat to be considered a great team? He goes, let's just sit back and enjoy what the Eagles are doing right now. So that's what I'm going to do. I was the one at 2-2 that said, hey, Sirianni's got to go. But, hey, I retract everything I said. We just got to enjoy them, enjoy the ride. Because, man, they're taking us all on one heck of a ride.
Yeah, they really are. Look, I like your mindset there, JP. Look, we're going to have critical analysis. It's what we do as fans. But one of our points of emphasis today was to say, let's celebrate the greatness and discuss what elements of it haven't gotten enough. Because Saquon has gotten a lot of bouquets, as he deserves. But as John brought up right out of the gate this year, physical toughness of the team. I mean, I'd reference a guy like Nolan Smith. I mean, JP, you talk about you were out on Sirianni 3 months ago. I was out on Nolan Smith 2 months ago. I thought he was a B-U-S-T 2 months ago. I thought he was a bust. Now he looks like a baller. I mean, like, that's an unbelievable evolution in a short period of time. And by the way, at a time when they really needed it in particular, given that Brandon Graham got injured. I mean, that was, because if he doesn't step in and play well, guys, we've seen it before. You have greatness until you don't. Usually it's not replaced. Obviously, Foles replaced Carson. Thank God he did save the season. But, I mean, we've seen guys like Mike McMahon step in. I mean, we have seen plenty of guys be horrible players at various positions. They can submarine. Sometimes a starter submarines a season. You know, I mean, James, I remember that cornerback year, 2014.
They Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams.
Yeah, they couldn't deal with Dez Bryant. I mean, the Eagles are right there with the Cowboys at, 9-3. They could not stop. The cornerbacks were incapable, literally incapable of stopping Dez Bryant, who had 3 touchdowns and the season fell apart. Because then, of course, Deshaun got him the next week and it was all bye-bye, everybody. So, you know.
Was that Saturday night game in Washington?
Well, that second one, yes, you're right. It was the third straight loss. They lost to Seattle, then Dallas, and then Deshaun beat them and did that kicking motion going to the,
the Sanchez.
Brutal.
It was
Joe,
brutal.
I got two for you.
Go for it, Ross.
That haven't been talked about.
Okay.
Number one, Calcaterra's pretty good.
He's solid, man.
I mean, when they drafted him, I mean, this is a guy that retired from college football to be a firefighter because of concussions. And now he's making, he's made some critical plays for the Eagles. I feel like that's gone under the radar because with Goddard out, you need him to at least play well enough. And he's done that. The other thing that nobody's talked about, do you guys realize that Mailata is by far the highest ranked offensive lineman in the NFL?
Didn't know it. No.
And he might be the highest ranked player. So we talk a lot about Hurts and the receivers and Saquon, and even I feel like when we talk about the O-line in general, or we talk about Lane, how good Lane is, or Becton being surprisingly good. I don't think I've seen this pop up a bunch. Pro Football Focus, all those websites. Mailata is the highest ranked offensive lineman in the NFL this season, and I might be wrong about this. I think I saw where they had him ranked as the highest ranked player in the NFL. So Mailata is having like an all-pro caliber year. Trent Williams is hurt. So this Mailata actually might be, if people are paying attention, he might be the first team all-pro left tackle. And so my prophecy from the third preseason game in 2018 might actually come true.
Okay. Was that his first game, Russ?
The third preseason game. I was watching him. I could not believe this guy that had never played football before was already better than I had ever been. I was like, oh my gosh, he's not just going to start for the Eagles. He's going to be like an all-pro. Yeah. They're going to go from Jason Peters to Jason Peters Jr.
It's an incredible development. I mean, it's really an amazing organizational success story. And obviously, Mailata deserves the most credit. But also from Statlin to Howie and the whole thing, it's really a remarkable thing. All right, JP, I need an answer from you, my man. Give me what you got here. A truth you'd like to know.
I want to know how many licks does it actually take to get to the Super
Bowl? That's a great answer.
Really good answer.
To get to what?
The center of a Tootsie Pop. Remember the old commercials?
Well, that is the best.
A three.
Wait, you don't know this?
Really? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Nope.
You've never heard of
it. It was the centerpiece of their ad campaign.
With
for
the owl.
Forever.
One, a two, a three.
What
and then he eats it. Three licks to get to the center.
Really good impression, James.
Thank you. I feel good.
That was very good, James.
I grew up on the planet Houston. You know that you got... You got the reference, John?
Yes.
Let's see if anyone else but John knows what movie the planet Houston is from. Come on, man.
It sounds super familiar. I feel like I know.
Come on. No idea.
Guys,
come on,
really?
Man. General Zod.
Star Wars, yeah.
Superman.
That's what I meant. I meant Superman.
Superman, too. Yeah. Right? When Zod is wrecking shop down in the South and that whole
thing. See how Joe pivoted from the original question?
Thank you, Ben.
He does that.
You know why, Ben?
The hammer!
I'm a deflector. And it's part of why I'll be a great politician. You ask me about A, I'll answer about X.
And give a reference that no one in the room gets except one
And then
person.
I look like the smart guy and I make everyone forget that I know that Senator, what's it, Tootsie Roll? Is that what you said?
Tootsie Pop.
How do you not know what a Tootsie Pop is?
To get to the center of a Tootsie
Pop's that little round thing, right?
A lollipop?
You don't know what a Tootsie Pop is?
For real? It's not
the greatest lollipops ever created.
Don't know it.
Oh my God.
Don't know it.
My God.
What?
I don't believe
it. Hold on, hold on.
They're right next to the chicken wings in the grocery store.
Yeah, thank you, James.
You know what a Tootsie Roll is?
Is that the round thing?
What?
The little round thing.
Do you think a Tootsie Roll and a Tootsie Pop are the same thing?
What color is a Tootsie
Roll? I'm going to say brown. Brown slash black, like in that darker
brown
color.
It's just brown.
Brown, fine.
Tootsie Roll
so
is
brown. You don't
brown
know. You're just guessing.
Round.
No, it's the little round thing, right?
Oval, so you do like
it's a small little cylinder, yes.
But what's a Tootsie Pop? Do you know that?
Well, now I know. Apparently, I find out it's a lollipop type thing.
It's the greatest lollipop of all time.
It has the Tootsie Roll in the middle.
I'm telling you, I didn't know.
On the stick. So the Tootsie Roll is on a stick with a lollipop around the Tootsie Roll.
Food on a stick.
You eat it. Yes. It's like a shish kebab.
That's exactly like a shish kebab. You've never seen this or heard of this in your life?
I'm telling you, the answer is no. You can drill down on me as much as you want. You already got me. You got me. Guilty is charged.
It's just impossible that he could somehow avoid seeing or hearing or witnessing.
But John,
it's not with Joe.
Because of what I was focused on, which was Kelly Kapowski and the 91 Eagles defense. That's what I grew up on. What do you want me to tell you? All right. James, Ross, you like that?
I love that. Kelly Kapowski and the 91. Joe, you and I are brothers from another mother.
Listen.
12 years old, 91 Eagles defense and Kelly Kapowski.
Correct.
I mean, Kelly Kapowski. All day, every
all
day.
All-timer. But anyway, go ahead, James. What do you got?
We talked about before, Rio was right. Detroit does hold the tiebreaker over Minnesota. So if Detroit loses a game and Minnesota doesn't, goes into that last game, if Detroit beats them, they would still be ahead of them. But again,
wait, which team would be ahead?
So Detroit holds a tiebreaker. So if Minnesota has to go into that game tied with Detroit for it to matter to Minnesota.
See, that's problematic for the Eagles, guys.
You basically need both teams to lose a game prior to that last game for the Eagles to win out.
Because presumably Minnesota would not play their starters.
But they definitely wouldn't. Why would they?
Why would they if they're going to play the next week as a 5 seed regardless? Oh, that's not good. That's not good. All right, 215-59. Go ahead, Ben. What?
Kelly Kapowski, Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue.
That's a bad answer.
Yeah.
It's a bad answer.
Okay, Kelly's whatever her name is.
Kapowski.
Kapowski.
Rhea.
Sorry, I don't know.
Tiffany Amber
Saved by the Bell? Liz Taylor. I did never watch Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
Liz Taylor.
Because I grew up on Kelly Kapowski. But Liz Taylor would have greater historical.
I just love throwing her name.
No, listen. You're in my wheelhouse now. Right? Welcome to my wheelhouse.
It's an interesting wheelhouse, Joe.
All right. I haven't even gotten on Marky Post yet, but that's a whole other matter. All right. But that's a different, that's the older genre, obviously.
Anyway. Older than Liz Taylor?
What do you mean?
Older than Kelly Kapowski. She's older than
Good
Lisa
point,
Turtle.
James.
She's older than Nicole Eggert was. Right? Settle down.
Lisa Turtle's on the
Raquel
list?
Oh,
dude,
what?
Lisa Turtle?
Lisa Turtle, this is an unexacted run.
Come on, man.
Listen,
I got all of it. Lork Voorhees.
Lark.
Whatever her name is.
Wait, you thought her name was Lork?
Whatever. Whose name is Lork?
More than Lork.
Lork and Lork from Lork. Come on. Both names are weird.
Lork. All right,
let's get to Brandon Graham. He joined us on the program yesterday, and we had to ask about could you, maybe, possibly, play again this year? Here's that exchange with BJ. Any chance of you being back if the team reaches the Super Bowl? Like in your early weeks of rehabbing, is it possible or is it off the table?
Man, anything is possible. So that's how I'm gonna feel. That's how I'm gonna fill it in. But just know we working, trying to see what happens. We got to get there. And so I guess I'll be ready to tell you that when I get there.
Understood. Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Do you see the smile on his face?
I do.
Saying.
That would be so sweet. And then, boy, go out there. put your left hand again on that ball, man, the one that you hurt, it's like, boy, nah. But I am working. We working. The Eagles organization, top notch. Just, you know, helping guys get back. And so I'm excited to see where we at.
Good, man.
At that time.
Now, that's BG. Yes, sir. The door is slightly open. Aiden Hutchinson said the same thing, by the way. So, you know.
Modern medicine, you never know. You got all sorts of help. You can come back a lot faster than you ever would have expected.
James, let me ask you this. If the Phillies had reached the 2023 World Series, would Rhys Hoskins have been activated?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Yeah. Ben Woody?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I will say no. With BG, though, I think BG's a particularly unique one in that I don't think he really has to even play that much in the game. Like, I just think if you could have him be a part of it and be back for that, the lift that would give the team.
Yeah.
Like, even if he only plays a couple plays,
for.
I think the lift.
Exactly.
No, I'm not saying they couldn't use him on the field. They could use him.
I don't know if Sirianni would do that, though.
I'm just saying, regardless, the lift he would bring off the field, I think, would be as much as on.
Yes.
I got weird vibes from him yesterday.
Do you think he's really of that mind, Rhea?
Yeah.
Good. That's great. I mean, if he can line it up, that's great.
Can you imagine if someday there were a Lork the camera?
Well, listen.
A little baby Lork the camera.
As if Lark is a normal name, right? Lark
sounds
and Lork.
Like an little alien.
Baby right. Lork.
Baby Lork from Planet Apollo.
I'm gonna, Lork delivered by a store.
So says Devin, who thought Jaws ate a freaking car, all right?
Tiny Lorky the camera.
Devin, we can play that audio. Jaws ate a car. He ate a car.
It's like 3 years
ago. Baby Lorky.
Apparently, Ross Tucker also grew up on Saved by the Bell. I love it.
Because I'm saved by the, it's all right.
Ross, it's so bad when you go back and watch it now. It is cheesier than Velveeta.
It was. Velveeta.
Velveeta.
Why did you just say Velveeta?
That's an old school line. Joe once called it Velveeta on the show.
Velveeta, oh good. God. And anyway, that went awry. All right. Good morning, Tim.
Only John and I got that one.
Uh-huh. I appreciate that Joe brought it back.
I did too. I enjoyed it for sure. Yeah. There are listeners out there who got it.
A couple got that one. All right. So good morning to you, Mike. Quick in 20 minutes. 10 more minutes here with Ross. We got Ben. We got Devin. Rhea Seltzer. John Rich and Joe DeCameron, busy day, great Eagles team, and a lot of the under the radar on the Eagles today. You know, what has been under-discussed or perhaps underappreciated about this great season? So that's all on the table. So, too, is let's do a little, let me give you a taste of something we haven't heard in a long time. And, Rhea, this is particularly going to drive you nuts. Okay?
But get ready, Rhea.
But it's also going to drive everybody nuts. But we also know this guy's a great coach. So we're going to do a little bit of the old coach and the new coach. We're going to do a little bit of Andy Reid and a little bit of Nick Sirianni. Because there's a Sirianni message you'll love, and there's an Andy Reid message you heard a million times. And it's apropos today because Carson could be their quarterback on Sunday. And, of course, Andy Reid delivered that message courtesy of injuries.
As far as the injuries go, the guys that won't practice today are Connor and Humphreys. We'll see how Pat does out there. He's going to go through some stuff, and we'll see how it works out for him. And if he can't work, you know, then Carson will take those reps that that Pat doesn't. So
all right, we'll
we have full confidence in Carson. If he has to step in and play, then I think everybody, coaches and players, have full confidence that he can go in and do a nice job.
That's classic Andy Reid.
I like how Pat was listed third.
I know, yeah. Andy.
Do we know if,
now, he did end up practicing.
Do we know if Patrick Mahomes' high ankle is on the same leg that it was the last time?
I don't.
Because if it is... That is something no one's talking about.
He was a full participant in practice yesterday, yeah. So I think they've made a little more out. Exactly.
The dude is Gumby. It's unbelievable. This happens every year, and then he always plays the next game.
Michael Jordan-esque.
And we it's unbelievable.
Plus, let's be honest.
Carson Wentz is horrible. Wouldn't it be fun to see Carson, though, just for the ridiculousness? You know?
No. Of course it would. I would love it. I would love to see
Carson. No, I want to see Wentz play for Andy Reid just as like a science experiment.
That's my point. Yeah, just to see what happens. All right.
It would be interesting to see Carson Wentz be better at distributing the ball, but
unless
my point
he's not.
Was going
Maybe.
To be if you have a high ankle sprain mm-hmm. on the same syndesmosis that you've already had a high ankle sprain, it's less traumatic the second time.
Okay.
I can tell you it takes significantly less time to come back from the second high ankle sprain on the same leg because it takes a lot. It's just a lot less radical, like the twisting and, and ripping that occurs when you re-rip the syndesmotic membrane.
Syndesmotic.
I can tell you from experience.
Well, maybe that's when Mahomes might play.
That's exactly why.
Let's listen to Sirianni because obviously a very different set. Look, they're both fantastic coaches. Andy's an all-timer. But there's a lot about Sirianni that impresses me, and one of it is the way he messages to the guys, at least that we get to hear. The Eagles released some audio of what Sirianni had said to the players last Thursday. So this is prior to them playing the Steelers. I just love the way Sirianni messages things.
Tough, detailed, together. This is our identity. Tough, detailed, together. Tough, detailed, together. Tough, detailed, together. This game against the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be physical. This game's going to be physical, but we're the f-ing bully. We're the one that takes it to them.
You know, Ross, I know he was a punching bag around here as recently as 2.5 months ago, maybe 2 months ago. But, I mean, Sirianni has put in one of the great, I think, coaching seasons we've seen in Philadelphia sports.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've won 10 games in a row since then. I've thought of this earlier, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but the people that wanted him fired after the Eagles were 2-2, part of me thinks that they should not be able to get all this joy that we're all getting and watching these games.
The problem is 80% of the...
You're talking to two of them right now, Ross.
Who wanted
them
fired? The
two hosts of this show.
No, that's not true, James.
Not you.
John, you wanted them fired when they were 2-2?
I don't remember this.
No, I don't think John did, James. I don't think that's accurate. John doubted Sirianni, but I wouldn't say called... I called for his dismissal after the Bucs game last year. And Ross, so did 71% of the audience when we did a poll. And Sirianni... Excuse me, Howie and Lurie...
Took 9 days.
They did, but
they were thinking about it.
They were definitely thinking about it, but they did stand by him, and thank God.
So if they were thinking about it, Ross, then Howie and Jeff don't have the right to enjoy it.
No, I'm saying the people that when they were 2-2 this year.
Ross,
you know what's interesting, man, is it's contract negotiation time. And let me back that up. It may not be contract negotiation time.
How long was his original deal?
Five. He's got one more. I think he's got one more.
I mean, barring something unforeseen, they're going to give him an extension after this.
Now, here's the key. He doesn't do, and he certainly hasn't, what Kotite did. You might remember in 94, Kotite gets off to that great run. They're 7-2. Oh,
that was
Rhea, you remember this?
Oh, my God.
Kotite pops off at 7-2, rips the 80 Eagles. He's like, what'd they ever win? They never won anything. Rips the 80 Eagles. And he's like, I'm the man.
The arrogance was unbelievable.
It was outrageous. Yep. And then lost 7 straight games and got fired. And Lurie had just bought the team.
Yeah, comeuppance right there.
Lurie's like, no.
You know what's interesting? Because this is a game I play every week now, Joe.
Yep.
As it relates to Sirianni. I think he's a really good coach, right? And I like him personally with my dealings with him, all those things. But... every week, I look at the Eagles' opponent, and I think about how many of those guys would start for the Eagles, and it's not very many.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, once again, the best roster in the NFL. Now, he's not screwing it up, and I think we all agree he's doing a good job with it, but that's the thing that, you know, I just joked about having the science experiment of seeing how Wentz would play for Andy Reid. That's the thing you don't know about Sirianni is, you know, he has been blessed with the best roster in the NFL.
Sounds like you're holding it against him a little.
Two out of the last 3 years. I don't hold it against him. I think it's, if you're being objective, it's part of the calculation.
It is. Yes.
Right? Like, this is not, he's not in Minnesota with Sam Darnold and, you know, a team that was supposed to win. Now, in fairness to Sirianni, I think every year, maybe not last year, but he's exceeded the preseason Vegas win total, right? So even though everybody knows how good their roster is, he still has gone ahead and won more games than we expected. That said, when that came out, they didn't know Bond would be this good or Becton at right guard or the two rookies would play this well in the secondary. So I think you always have to balance those things. I think he's a good coach. I think they probably need to win a championship with this roster for people to say he's a great coach. And I think that's fair.
All right, Ross, good stuff, bud. We're going to be off, of course, next Wednesday with it being Christmas. So we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and thanks for being a huge part of the program, my man.
Hey, love it. Love talking with you guys. Have a great holiday, and hopefully they get the title, the championship NFC East this Sunday.
You got it, pal. Thanks, there he is, Mr. Ross Tucker. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Mike Quick joins us in 10 minutes. Let's get to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, morning team. Joe, what's up, Joe? John, how you feeling?
How are you, buddy?
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Joe.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You mean to tell me you don't know what a Tootsie Roll Pop is? I mean, this isn't funny anymore, dude. Like,
I
seriously.
Did not. I had a buddy text me.
Chuck's like, this is not funny.
I text my buddy. I didn't know. I mean, listen.
There's so much that's wrong with his brain. The way that it filters some things out and just can't. He can't learn, Chuck. He can't learn anything new.
He's not real.
It almost seems impossible.
He's like the woman on the plane.
Is this a compliment or a criticism?
You're not real.
Wow.
It's an incredible criticism,
Ben. So you're saying I'm supernatural?
It's just I've never encountered anyone like you.
In a bad way.
And I take that as a great compliment.
No, it's terrible.
I'm saying it in a good way.
Thank you.
I'm saying it in a good way.
Thanks, buddy.
He's
you
lying.
You fascinate me.
Thank you, sir.
You fascinate me.
Like a science project or something? Yeah.
And Ben, you got to admit, I would make a great presidential candidate.
100%.
How that's do you take not at all that the leap?
Well,
that
first
you
off,
know.
How do you
we
make
just
that
said
leap?
You'd be that's like a absurd. Like a science project, like, and you're like,
we would like
to president
you in a petri dish because
exactly,
you're so
yes.
weird. That's not president. That does not a
you're like the animals in the wild.
I think the nation would be fascinated, but who am I to say? Chuck, go ahead, buddy.
You stumble upon a Tootsie Roll Pop in life by accident. You know what I mean? So it's just like, come on,
give them out at Halloween. Like, how do you know?
You guys
crazy.
Know it's the same 3 or 4 candy bars. It's all simple. Snickers, anyway. Twix, 100 grand. Stay right.
100 grand.
I know.
No, what?
Hold 100 on. Grand. 100 grand is amazing. Dude, I will bag 100 you on this.
Grand.
100 grand Twix. Is so great.
100 grand?
100
grand. It's not in the same category.
100 grand.
Yeah, it's not
it's
what
not
you
the
know,
same
but it's
category.
Just his, it's Joe's what he eats is the problem.
It's what I do.
Right. Not surprising.
I do what I do.
That is a major problem.
All right, Chuck, give me a quick Eagles
roll.
Point, buddy.
The Tootsie Roll to the left, to the right. That's the dance right there. You don't know nothing about that. But anyway, we don't need the number one seed. I don't want them to get that. I'm not saying I don't want them to get it, but we don't need it. Give it to Minnesota or Detroit if frauds. They need it more than we do. We can go anywhere and win. I just want us to be healthy going into the playoffs.
Well, that's a huge kick.
Be healthy going into the playoffs. We got a defense that travels. Defense is number one in the league. Got a running game. Got a massive offensive line. Quarterback that could play football, with a mentality of winning. I believe we can win anywhere we go in the playoffs.
I think that's true.
I just want us to be healthy.
Chuck, give me a big answer. What's the simple truth you'd like to know?
I mean, I mean, why do people lie when they fart?
I was not expecting that.
Boy, that came out of nowhere.
Chucky!
That is so deep right there.
Well, it's really not.
It's
because
guilt,
they're embarrassed.
Right? It's shame.
Yeah, it's shame.
So it's not a mystery.
It's societal expectations.
We know the answer.
Yeah. That's just
maybe is it wrong to feel guilt about farting?
Is it? It depends on the setting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Should we just let it rip?
I want to ask elevator.
I don't think that should be.
Tell me where this comes into workplace etiquette.
Mm. Ooh.
In the bathroom, but not in a stall.
Oh. It's a great question.
Hey,
I think you should be allowed to fart in the bathroom.
Devin and I are
allowed to fart in the bathroom.
That's men's room etiquette.
You're in the bathroom.
Really.
I think you should be allowed to fart in the bathroom.
Obviously, it's different, John.
Is men's and women's is different?
Are you serious?
Are you?
We don't have urinals, John.
I know that.
James, let me ask you this question, because I want to drill down on this for a second.
I'm happy you want to drill down.
This is the kind
of thing we need to drill down.
You're at the sink.
Okay.
Standing at the sink next to you is the big boss.
That's a good point.
Let's say it's David Yagaroff.
I would not fart next to David Yagaroff.
Women can't do it. Women can't do it because the urinal allows farting.
That's the point.
The urinal allows farting.
I'm just asking.
In a way that with not having a urinal prevents.
What do you
women?
Mean?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying
no idea what you're talking about.
Do you think that we don't have stalls? Yeah.
I know that you have stalls, but we're going to need to take you into the ladies' room today to show you what it looks like. I'm saying that it really is a different dynamic because we're standing there, and the whole farting idea is. I've thought about this too. It is.
You guys would just be doing it out in the open.
Correct.
You're standing there. You're out in the open. It is frowned upon. I don't think it should be, but it is a different dynamic because they're in a stall, it's a lot friendlier for that.
You be the judge. Okay? All right. Ken Rosenthal was the judge yesterday on something as relates to Alec Boehm. He thinks he is. To use Harry Callis' term, out of here. Let's listen to Rosenthal yesterday on Boehm.
Alec Boehm, the Phillies clearly want to trade him. They clearly have not been successful in their attempts so far. I would expect he will not be on the Phillies by the start of the season.
All right, so it's pretty definitive there. I mean, at least from an expectation standpoint. I mean, first off, he's reporting they want to trade him. So the whole thing of like, hey, we'll listen to phone calls, but we're not making them. We kind of knew it was phony baloney. And he's saying he's going to be gone. But it's notable we're getting near Christmas. He hasn't been gone yet. Rosenthal continued on.
It seems to me that at some point the Phillies are going to do something. Their fans are getting impatient. I understand that. But Dave Dombrowski is not the type to end the season the way they did and then come back with the same team the next year or effectively the same team. That's not happening.
All right. So obviously not much has happened at all yet. We're up to December 18th. Now, free agency can go for another 2 months. But it's a little concerning nothing's happened yet. We ask you this Twitter poll question of the day because we're trying to get creative almost on behalf of the Phillies' best interest here and try to figure out, should you move some guys around? Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays and a healthy new year. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, which player moving to the outfield would most help the Phillies become a better team? The idea being that you could then sign other positions that are off the table because, Bryce is your first baseman, Trey is your shortstop, Schwarber is your DH. Well, here's the poll question. Which moving would help the Phillies the most? Bryce to right field, Trey to center, or Schwarber to left? Now, I know, Ben, you don't expect any of those three to happen. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you think is most likely that it could happen? You think it's 0-3, right?
0-3.
Why can't Schwarber play? Let me give you for instance.
Physically.
Why can't he play 75 games out there? So when I've got a right-handed pitcher, I've got Schwarber as my left fielder, I've got Marsh as my center fielder, and hopefully some stud DH also in the mix. Like why can't that happen?
They don't want to suffer the defense.
Would you agree that his defense is better than Rojas's offense?
I think
offense?
It's also a physical thing. He hurt his knee last time he was out playing left field.
It was growing.
And the knee was the year prior to that. The point is he's always had injuries when he plays out there. I don't know if he can physically handle playing left field.
All right, let me move off Schwarber. James, would you tell Bryce Harper, Holmes, you're playing right field?
Sure. I don't think they will.
They will not.
They won't.
They will not say that
to him. No.
John, should they?
I'll say, Bryce, what do you want to do?
Cool. I think Bryce is a good first baseman. I think that.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is if you can acquire a first baseman and move Bryce to. If it's easier to get a first baseman than a right fielder.
Well, yeah.
That's what we're driving at.
The only way it's going to happen if Bryce Harper says, hey, Dave, go get Christian Walker. Let him play first and I'll move to left. That's the only way it's going to happen.
And how feasible is that concept? Is Bryce Harper attached to first base, or is Bryce Harper willing to play wherever, truly willing to do whatever it takes to win?
I think it depends on the player that they would bring in here.
Right.
Well, I'll just tell you, I don't like the idea that it's off the table unless he's in the mood to go play out there. I don't like it. I think that is not the way an organization should run. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that's what the Phillies are doing because I don't know. But I think that's what they're doing. If they were of the mindset to move Trey Turner to center field, I think they would have leaked out there already that Trey is shagging 1,000 fly balls a day.
Trey's excited about the possibility of playing. Right. Like they would say, Trey's looking for whatever. Yeah. It would be out there.
Right?
Maybe.
100 million percent.
I would love to hear that.
I think Trey Turner is such a good athlete, he wouldn't need to do that. To be a very good center fielder. Wow. I mean, he's played out there before.
Well, then go do it.
He's not going to do it.
That's weak to me.
I know you are.
I'm not ripping you. I'm ripping Trey. If he is unwilling to move
and
because of ego or something, I don't like that.
If this could potentially hurt the team, prevent the team from going and winning a world championship.
That's the whole point.
Like, let's be open and honest about what this team actually needs to do to be the best in the world. And I think part of it is let's be honest and open.
Yeah, I don't like it. I just don't. Anyway, that's my thought. You guys can weigh in. Love the Phillies. I just don't want them to be run in a way where they're afraid to ask a player to play a position.
But we don't know that they are.
No, we don't.
We're waiting to find which biggest star is truly going to help us the most, at which point we ask the requisite Phillies star, hey,
Move
now?
All right, let's talk to Mike quick. So you can weigh in on the Phillies. Obviously, the Eagles a major topic today as well. So much is going great. Reminder, tomorrow at this time, Wilbert Montgomery on the program tomorrow at 8:40. We look forward to talking to Wilbert. We have never had him on the show, so looking forward to that tomorrow.
Mike Quick, sponsored by Bet Parks. Weekends, check out the double the spread boost for all users on one pro football game. Check betparks.com on Friday for that. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan, Maryland, or Ohio. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, one of the great Eagles players of all time and a spectacular announcer as well. Let's welcome in Mr. Mike Quick. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Can I tell you something?
Please do, sir.
I'm so happy you're going to have Wilbert on tomorrow. It's funny, I had this thing just hit me that Grant Calcaterra is going to get his first touchdown. And so before the game last week, 2 weeks ago, I said to him, I said, dude, you're going to get your first TD today. And I saw him score the touchdown. I got really excited. And then he lost the ball. And I saw someone going to get the ball to give him the football. I say that because when I scored my first one, Wilbert Montgomery was the guy who ran and got the football.
Nice.
Because I was so excited, I didn't know what to do. Wilbert went and got the ball and brought me the football. and said, "Rookie, you got to keep this ball. This is your first touchdown."
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff, man. And of course, both of you guys into the Eagles team Hall of Fame, which is awesome. Yeah, Mike, we're looking forward to having Wilburn on the show tomorrow. You know, let's start with the Saquon thing, Mike, because it's been a little bit backburnered the last week. He's still in striking distance, but it's harder now. Do you think Sirianni makes a point of emphasis to give it to him a few extra times to try to get him across the Dickerson line, or is it literally as simple as whatever is best for the team to win the game?
Yeah, I think that's where you are now. With him needing probably 140 yards per game to finish out the season, I think that's the way you go. And if he starts out really well against Washington and it looks like he's going to have a big day, I think you continue to feed him. But I don't think it's the emphasis that you would have had he had a big day last week. If he had run for 200 yards last week, then I think it's a different approach. But given what he's got to do now each week, I don't think that's a high priority any longer.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I get it. I mean, winning is what matters most. But, you know, look, you still got a shot, but it's tough. All right, Mike, let's talk about this last game. So much was so impressive as the Eagles just dismantled the Pittsburgh Steelers. What impressed you the most of what the Birds did?
I would have to say the whole physicality. And it just jumps off the page. When I'm watching them on the reviewing the game, just how physical they were. Two things, the physicality and the speed of the defense. Certainly the passing game was great, and we wanted to see that. We needed to see that, and I think the team needed to see that. But the defense and the way the physical style that they played and how quickly on the second, third level, everybody rallied to the ball, that kind of just jumps off the page when you watch it.
I think I'm nitpicking here. I really am looking for things to point out, like what can we work out to truly be better, Mike? And this was another week where our offense at the end of the first half, I felt like we didn't maximize our final possession. Yeah, I feel like every week we get to that the final possession. You know, we might be getting the first half kickoff, receiving it like we were this week. But this time there were 18 seconds left. It was second down. Jalen had just taken a sack, and he just very casually stood up and started running into the locker room. That was a problem for me. I could not believe that is acceptable, just allowing free plays to expire when you have a chance to go try to score points when games are decided by a coin flip at times, such a small margin for error. Are we good enough in the 2 minute part of football, Mike?
By the way, that's a different question. Let me just say this, Mike, because I've disagreed with John on this for years, because I think Sirianni is managing the moment, managing the game, knowing, hey, we'll probably win. We're in a good spot here. Let's not do something foolish and cause a turnover. John's second question, though, I think has great relevancy. If they had to crank up a two-minute drill at the end of the game, how good would they be? But anyway, Mike,
you guys loaded me up with four questions there. What question do you want me to ask?
Are we good enough in the 2 minutes? How much does it trouble you?
How many times did Sirianni screw it up? How many times?
So listen, I think when they went out onto the field, there was a plan. But after the sack, I think that plan goes kind of out of the window, and you just have to regroup and decide to come out after the half and then try and get it back right. Okay. There's so many things that you can look at. So I think about the overcoming the two turnovers and the way they've fought back from that. There's so many things, so many ways in this game that it ebbed and flowed, but I just give a lot of credit to this whole bunch, this coaching staff, for what they're doing, and not just the head coach but the coordinators and the position coaches. Listen, we're watching a very well-coached football team, and this time last year, we couldn't say that. But I think we all are enjoying this football team so well, and primarily because of, one, the talent that Howie's assembled, and how well these young men are being coached.
I totally agree, Mike. It's really something.
Feels good.
It's something to behold. It really is, Mike. We stumbled upon, didn't even know until about an hour ago. Jalen Carter is just nowhere near the top of the leaderboard for Defensive Player of the Year. Does that, as far as odds go, Does that make any sense to you?
No, it doesn't. It is not going to make sense to us, but I don't think everyone in the nation watches him as closely as we all watch him and see the dominance that he is. When it's not, so I've been in all these rooms where you vote for Pro Bowls, and if you don't know players, you just look at their stats. And for people that don't get to watch him the way we watch him, they look at stats, and they don't know the violent player that he is and the way he's disrupting games, although he's not making the stops all the time. So that's that. All of that gets filtered into this whole picking the guys that are the best.
It's a shame. It really is because he deserves – let's put it this way. It's hard for me to imagine there's been – five better than him. I mean, I can't say because, look, what do I know who's been the top one, two, three, four, five? But I find it hard to believe he wouldn't be top five, and that's disappointing.
I agree.
Mike, is the snap count, the snap percentage is so high with Jalen Carter. But right now, because our defense is so good, the snap numbers themselves are low. Have you seen D tackles play with higher snap counts, entire games, like it seems like he might try to do with success, with this the same level of dominance that he shows in 43 plays? Can he do that for 80?
John, it just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, if you go back a lot of years ago, guys may have played the number of snaps that he's playing, but as a defensive tackle, a three technique tackle, he's playing over 80% of the snaps. You just don't see that. And, you know, I look at defensive fronts that the Eagles play against, and in the fourth quarter, this offensive line, they wear guys down. They're not the same player in the fourth quarter, but Jalen Carter seems to be playing over 80% of the snaps. He's still effective late in games, and you rarely see that. I never see that anymore in the National Football League.
Yeah, no question about it. Mike Quick with us here. All right, Mike, so Washington, let's just drill down on this for a moment. They were really not that impressive in the game against the Eagles, but otherwise have, for the most part, won a lot. So how good are they?
I think they're good. I think the way that Bryce Young, their young quarterback, has grown really – makes this offense very dynamic. They have potential to be really good, and he's just going to grow to be a better and better player. But one of the things against the Eagles is, I don't know if you remember, but their best receiver, Terry McLaurin, he didn't get the ball until the second half because he was locked up. Quinyon Mitchell had him locked up over there and put cuffs on him, and they couldn't get him the ball. And the other thing was the fact that they put so much pressure on Young and had him running around so much. But I still believe that that's a really good football team. They're very good against a run. That's why I don't know if Saquon is going to have the type of game where you're going to want to try and continue to go after this record because they're so good against a run up front. Dan Quinn, one of the best defensive minds in our game. I think he does a tremendous job with the talent that they have. And they're not as talented. The roster's not as talented as the Eagles roster, but they get a lot out of these guys.
Yeah, and, you know, they have beaten the Eagles a number of times in recent years when the Eagles are the better team. And sometimes it happens down there, so hopefully not this weekend. Mike, have a great Christmas, man. We're going to be off next Wednesday, so we won't talk to you next Wednesday. But Merry Christmas to you and your family, and thanks very much, man, for all you do for our show, man.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas. Mike. There he is, Mike Quick. Obviously, he meant Jaden Daniels when he said Bryce Young, but he meant Jaden Daniels. What, both top two picks in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Daniels was two, and Bryce Young was one about, what, 3 years ago?
2 or 3 years. I think 2 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah, him and Stroud were 1 and 2 years ago.
All right, let's get to Dr. Gina right now. Dr. Gina, good morning.
Good morning. Thank God all the Mike Quick stuff came in between all your bathroom talk because, oh, my word, that just that had me in a tizzy, to use an old term.
Well, how do you handle it, Gina? If you got a little something extra at that sink Is that appropriate or inappropriate?
No. Barely a fart inside the stall in the ladies' room is all I'm telling you. And you muffle it. There's ways to muffle it.
That sounds good.
There's ways to muffle it.
That's over the top.
Rhea, right?
Oh, Dr. Gina, you are not dragging me into this.
Smart woman. Real quick, I just want to do a little drone update.
So tell us what they are. What's going on up there?
I don't know exactly for sure, but what I read, and this sounds very plausible, is in medical research, PET scans, PET, positron emitted tomography, like a CAT scan, it's a radiation emitting device. So from my understanding, a shipping container that had damaged or leftover PET scan radioactive material in it was found. The shipping container was found open and the stuff inside was missing. And it very well could be possible that these drones are radiation detecting drones used by our military, that their way they work best at night to detect the radiation, which is why all the drone sightings at night. Now, I can't, I'm just going to say, I will not denying any plausibility on this. So this is what I read last night. It makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, it does.
And they don't know whether it's nefarious, whether the shipping container was deliberately damaged and something was stolen out of it, or if just something in shipping went missing or got damaged.
All right. Well,
it sounds, and they don't want to create mass hysteria. So they're not saying a whole lot about it. They're just keeping it under the vest as much as possible. Till now, I just leaked it out, and they'll be coming for me, I'm sure, this morning.
Well, here's the irony, Gina. Gina, if there's nothing really wrong with it that it can cause, then why not just say what it is?
I don't know.
Because I think it's causing more problems that we don't know what it is.
Joe, if it's missing radioactive material, who knows what can be done with it? That's all I can say.
All right, Gina, give me a big answer here. What is a simple truth that you'd like to know the answer to?
Oh, in your run for, in your quest to become president of the United States, is your background and the bathtub and the bidet going to be looked into, and will it be held against you?
Well, fair enough. I shall write it down. I mean, I would embrace it as a candidate because, you know.
You would embrace the porcelain throne.
John, let me explain something to you. At the
inauguration,
my bathtub. Okay, let's just put it that way. The bathtub, the shrine that is my bathtub.
The shrine.
The mat of it is a White House mat. Like this is. I'm not messing around.
No,
I have a White House mat in front of the bathtub.
You know that you're living a life of pretending. Like you're doing pretending.
Think all you
in
want
in your
think.
Bathroom. Yeah. Playing. Like, it really is, like, fun play.
Let me ask Ben.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Ben, do you think George Washington, when he was...
President play.
When he was in his younger days, thought he'd be the president of the United States?
They didn't have the United States.
Correct.
He absolutely
what is,
did
What does
not.
It mean? James, what does that mean? It means Kevin Garnett's words were accurate. Anything is possible.
That's what I think of all the time, Kevin Garnett.
No, you know what it says to me? It says to me that the people who do it right don't plan to be... the president.
No, that's definitely not right.
I think George Washington planned to help his country. He didn't plan to do it as the president of the United States.
Martha Washington was very wealthy, and that helped him. So
big time.
The message is like, marry rich. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just, I don't know.
Baby. What, was it Lorky?
Why do we keep saying Lork?
Baby Lork. Baby Lork. Yeah, you're going to have to be
Who
rich. Babies are expensive.
Yeah, where did Lork come from?
Because Lorky of Lork coming. Voorhees or Lark, whatever
her name
is.
Lark.
Lork. Whatever, I don't know her name.
Lorky the camera. Dude, she's the name that he decided
she's
on
Lisa
for
Turtle.
His firstborn.
James, do you agree Jesse Spano third?
Elizabeth Berkley?
Yeah.
No, I would put her above Lisa Turtle.
No, not on the show. She was a pain in the ass.
The character was annoying.
Well, that's my point.
I didn't think that's what we were talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. 215. I can get past the fake character and